Praise God, I made it all the way up here. Yeah, I'll echo what was said about the gathering yesterday. That was wonderful, lighthearted, where it needed to be. I have never been in a funeral or memorial where we sang zippity-doo-dah but until yesterday, but that was by Judy's request. But thank God, you're talking about plenty of sunshine coming our way. Coming my way. The Lord is so merciful and faithful, and I just appreciate his goodness. Well, praise the Lord. Even what's happened this morning is part of growing, isn't it? Amen. We need to love one another and just ask the Lord to teach us, because we don't know. And the Lord has got us in a place where we're going to always be dependent on him, aren't we? Amen. We need him. Yes, and I'm just looking to the Lord to take the thoughts that I seem to have and just kind of, you know, focus on what he wants to focus on. But I had thought about a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't think this will necessitate a long time, but anyway, Paul, you know, has been talking about his ministry and all that he went through in order to do it, and the fact that his focus was not on this present life and what was going on here, but the one to come and all the glories that were to come, and the fact that he is living in a body that he likens to a tent, which is something temporary, and God has something permanent for us. So obviously Paul has been brought to a place where he sees things differently than the people of the world, right? Do we need that? Yeah, we need it. So how does that come about? So anyway, he comes down to verse 6 and continue to talk about this. He says, therefore, we are always confident. That's a good attitude to have, isn't it? We need some way to be confident, not just to say, this is my opinion, this is how I feel, but to have an inward confidence. God, do you believe God wants to give us that? Does he want us to muddle along and be always unsettled on the inside? I believe God longs to give us a deeper confidence, a place of rest. Is that not what Jesus said? Learn from me and you'll find what? Rest for your souls. Anybody here in need of more rest? Well, sometimes the Lord takes us through these hard things in order to learn to come to that place where we can learn how to rest. But anyway, Paul says we know that that as long as we are at home in the body, that is here, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. And somehow my mind was brought to that. Faith is obviously a large and important subject in scriptures, and you could go everywhere, all over the place, talking about it. But somehow I was unable to see Paul having been brought to a place where there was a ruling principle in his life that absolutely governed how he saw everything. We need that? Yeah. And somehow God had brought him to a place that he was expressing this. I'm living. I'm existing in the world, but I don't live. I don't see things the way everybody else does. And so he gives a contrast. Now, what is it that governs the minds and the wills and all of that, the lifestyle of everybody in this world who doesn't know the Lord? What are the principles? We're told in the scriptures, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's how I can please my flesh. It's all the stuff that I can see and call mine. It's the pride of, in my own mind, thinking I'm somebody and I want other people to think well of me as well. And so people are born into a physical world and they gather information from their senses as to what's going on. That's what he talks about by sight, right? So it's what I see, what the information that comes into my brain helps to form how I think and how I see stuff. And but he says, that's not how I live. That's how people of the world live. They are shaped, as has been said this morning, by, you know, mama and papa and the environment and the world's wisdom. We have people who have gone before us who tried to figure it all out and answer the question, what's it all about? And so, you know, you get the idea that if this situation happens, this is how you handle it. This is how you seek your own interest in the world. And, we need to see something that's beyond that, don't we? Praise the Lord. Lord, help me in this. Is this the Lord? I feel my weakness this morning, and that's a good thing as long as the Lord's in it. As long as the Lord is actually doing something, then my weakness is a good thing. That's what Paul learned, wasn't it? In other words, there were things that happened, and he talked about it in the previous chapter. There were all kinds of negative things that happened in his life. Suppose he had gone by that. Suppose he said, I'm in prison, I'm suffering, it's all over, this isn't worth it, I'm doing the wrong thing, I've got to take care of me, I've got to live for my own interests. But God had done something in Paul that had planted a power in him that he calls faith. Faith is not just, as some people think of it, a blind choice to just embrace a philosophy. You know, I have no real evidence, but I'm just going to believe it because it makes me feel good. It gives me some sense of purpose in my life. That's faith. Is that faith? Is that what God is talking about? You know, the power that holds men captive in this world is a real power. We know Satan's involved, but I don't even need Satan to have power going on happening in my body if I will yield to it. Sin itself is a life-sapping power that absolutely rules. It blinds men. It causes them to miss God. It's the thing that gives us the challenges that Billy was talking about. Where here we are, we have learned and acquired weaknesses that God wants to help us with, and it's a real power. I need power. I don't just need a better set of rules to live by. I got to have some power. And if we can understand, faith is the very gateway by which God works in our lives, and it is something that has a beginning, but it also has this progression that's been talked about. Where we're learning and we're growing and we're dealing with issues, we're dealing with situations, as we did this morning. Praise God. And, you know, we love everybody involved. No question about that. But where does faith come from? Well, it comes from God, doesn't it? Does anybody here have the power to look deep within and say, yes, I believe you, Lord, and by that power, no, I don't have any power. How many times have we quoted the scripture where it says, by grace are you saved? Grace is God's power at work saving sinners. It's an active thing. It's God intervening in a life. Oh, I pray that if God hasn't intervened in your life in the way we're talking about, that's the greatest need. There's got to be a beginning. Faith has got to come from somewhere. It is a gift of God. By grace you are saved through faith. Faith is the means by which we lay hold of salvation. But where do I get the faith that enables me to lay hold of it? You see? That's got to come from God. And whenever God's word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the way, that Greek word there is not the word for just a philosophy like stuff on paper. This is rhema. This is the spoken word of God. We don't live by just words in Scripture. God's got to breathe life into it. And God begins to work in a heart by speaking. There's an active intervention of the God of the universe in an individual heart. That's how much He cares about you. Don't forget, He knows how many hairs you've got on your head. This same God knows how to speak to a heart. The issue is, what does that heart, what does that person do? Do we say, yes, Lord? And here's the biggest issue. When God speaks, the first thing He has to do is to shine a light on our need. Oh, how we love that. Human nature is prideful, just as Satan was prideful. My God, we need to have a heart that's willing to admit the truth and willing to say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord. When He comes and He shines a light and says, there's a need in your life. And I want you to be honest about it. I want you to come to a place where you understand not only there's a need, you have no power to do anything about it. And if you stay on the path you're on, you're going to have a bad end. It's going to be destruction. But thank God, the grace of God that shines in a human heart, the voice of God, doesn't leave us in that place of condemnation and need. It brings us there so that it can say, yes, but I have the answer. I've got it. I want to show you a Savior who has done everything necessary to save you completely so you can live in my kingdom forever, free from all of this. And I'll tell you, when God reveals himself to a willing heart, something's born. See, I need power. I don't just need philosophy. I need a living force that enables me, and that force is called faith. Think of what the scriptures tell us. I think I can quickly just highlight a couple of things here that will get to where I believe the Lord wants to get. But faith is the, we're told in Hebrews 11, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So I need something that can tell me that something that it hasn't happened yet. But I am so confident in that I will base my life on the expectation that what God has said is coming is true. Boy, I got to have something more than somebody's explanation and some philosophy, don't I? I need divine power that's going to reside deep down to where I have a confidence that what God has said is coming is absolutely true. And I need a confidence that something that I cannot see, I have no power to see this. I cannot see God. I cannot see Jesus with these eyes. The world's living by the information that can enter through the senses. I can't see that. How in the world do I have the power to know that that's real to the point where if they threaten my life over it, I still know it's real and I can make the choice. Boy, I need God. And that's the essence of how he works in our lives. He deposits something that is real. And I won't go into the details, but I've told you times in my life that the Lord's brought me down to where I had nothing. When it came to feelings, anything I looked at, everything just seemed like I have nothing. And yet there was something down in here that wouldn't go away. It was just quiet, didn't argue with me, didn't fuss. Aren't you glad God is patient? But it was there, and I could not get away from it. I knew that I knew. God put that there. That's what God wants to put in every heart. If you're willing and you listen to his voice, that's what he'll do for you. He will plant that. He will come to live, and he'll bring his faith. Christ will bring his faith with him. He's got perfect faith, doesn't he? And so that's what happens when somebody is born again. But I'll tell you, it's been emphasized that there's a need to grow. There's a need for faith to become stronger. And God is going to absolutely bring us through things where all that we see, everything that we could determine from a factual point of view, from a physical point of view, from the wisdom of the world as to how do I handle this situation? What are my prospects here? What should I value? What should I live for? All of that is going to come into absolute contrast with what God says. And it's not going to be just words in a book. It's going to be something that is alive. Some way or other, God will speak and we will have a choice to make. And God is bringing every one of us to places of choice, is he not? Am I going to agree with God? Am I going to believe what he has promised me? Or am I going to just stay where I'm at and believe what my experience tells me, all my failure, all of these other things that I've gone through? Am I going to look at the situation and say there's no hope based on everything I've got? All this information is coming into my brain. I know there's no way to handle this other than being angry, being, you know, all the things that come out of human nature. God will absolutely set everything that he wants us to lay hold of when it comes to faith. He will allow every circumstance to come against that, and we will have a choice. And in every case, God wants to give us something. He wants to take us to deeper territory, doesn't he? He wants to be more real to us. He wants us to, there's stuff that he has for us that he wants us to be able to lay hold of. How do I do that? I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't have the willpower. I don't have what it takes. Thought of another scripture that fits in real well right here. I think it's in Romans 5. You know, I remember one time we had a message where we entitled it Facts versus Faith, where we're faced with these choices like Abraham was. God says this, and every circumstance says, you're nuts. This can't possibly happen. But somehow Abraham had enough confidence in the one who spoke that he said, I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, God said it, that settles it. That's the place God wants to bring every one of us to. And it's not just these big things, like it's been said. It's the little everyday stuff where God wants us to begin to lay hold of his word, that things that have beaten us and defeated us and kept us in bad places, that we can overcome them. I mean, you think about what it took for Paul to get where he got. He obviously had years of experience where God put him to the test, and in every instance, there was a circumstance that was difficult, but God's voice was there because Paul was listening. Do we need to listen? It's not enough to say, well, I hold the right tradition, I'm good. No, I need this relationship that's been talked about this morning. I need to be in a place where I can hear his voice. He might speak to me quietly. He might speak to me as I read the word. I know every believer has had a time when you've been in a place where you needed to hear from the Lord. You've opened the scriptures and you've read it, and a verse just jumped off the page, came alive. Is that just happenstance, or is God sitting there saying, wait a minute, that's what I want you to take hold of. Here's my word in this situation. Now what are you going to do with it? See, there we got, that's where we got choices to make, and God longs for his children to learn how to live by faith and not by sight. And I think if we're honest, we do an awful lot of living by sight. We look at situations, we react to other people, we react to this, we react to that, we make choices in our lives, we blunder along. And here's God saying, I just want you to walk with me. You know that word where Paul says, I live by faith. Actually, the Greek says walk, technically. But this is not walk like, oh God, I need to get from here to there. And I'm not going to rely on sight, so I'm going to close my eyes and see, it's obviously a way of illustrating the truth of the fact that we live a certain way. Because we talk about living our lives as a walk. It's getting from here to there, getting from where God lays a hold of us to where he wants to take us. But I started to get to this passage in Romans chapter 5 because he's brought us to the place where the way we get into this relationship with God, obviously, is when he speaks and shows us our need and shows us Christ and all that he's done, and we lay hold of that and we surrender the throne of our life, and he comes in. There's something that is planted there. There is a life force that enables us to put our confidence in things that we cannot see with natural eyes, and to lay our and to have a hope in something that we cannot, I mean, it's still future, but it's as real as if it were here. Do you believe that we can have that? Yeah, that's what we get by coming to Christ. All right? So he begins having established that we get into the relationship with God by faith that he has to give us to start with. Therefore, since we have been justified, made righteous in God's eyes through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to what it says here. Through whom? Now who? That's Christ. Christ has given us access. We have gained access. There's something that we couldn't have access to without this. All right? Suppose there's a huge bank account But you didn't have access to it. Wouldn't do you any good, would it? There's a whole lot of things that Christ has provided that you and I need right here this morning, that I need. The question is, how do we have access to that? How do we get that so that it becomes ours and not just some theory out there? All right? We have gained access by faith. Now this principle begins to operate in our lives, and it helps us to be able to lay hold of, have access to something. But what is the access? Into this grace in which we now stand. Now the power that brought us to faith in the first place is there. And so we can never rightly say, oh, I just can't. No way. I just don't have the power. Well, he has given you the power if you're willing to say, yes, Lord. God wants everyone here to know you have access to the grace of God for the need you're facing in the moment. You have access by that power that he has planted in your heart. The question is, what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe our flesh and what it wants, or are we going to say, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ that lives in me. That's easy to quote. But living it, is it just as easy to live it? No, there's real challenges. There are real battles that are fought. But what God wants me to know this morning, and you, he has put within our grasp the tools that we need to lay hold of everything that we lack in our lives. And I just praise him. I mean, this covers everything. We think of faith as some big circumstance, and I need an answer. I need God to move in some very big, obvious way. Well, he can do that sometimes. But the need that I have is not the stuff that's really out there in the open. It's the little stuff that I only know about. I need to learn how to listen to his voice when I'm in a place of need, to say, yes, Lord. But then to believe what he says more than I believe this other information that's trying to take hold of my brain, saying it can't be, when the Lord says it is, because Jesus paid it all and he has laid up in heaven treasure beyond imagining that belongs to us, and he's given us the access, given us the key. And the key is to use what he has given us. That means when I'm in a place of need, I need to be tuned in. The Lord wants to talk to me some way or other. And when I hear his voice, that needs to be something that I latch hold of and say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord, I believe you. And on that ground, I'm standing here. Now, we know from Scripture that standing is often a challenging thing. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Psalms is Psalm 13. And I'm not going to turn to that right now, but that's the one where David begins with this desperate prayer. How long, O Lord? How long is you going to... I can't seem to hear your voice. I can't find what's going on. There's so much trouble in my life. The enemies seem like they're going to triumph over me. Oh, God, how long? Well, it was honest emotion. But how many of you are glad it doesn't stop there? The last part is, but I will praise your name. I don't remember the exact words, but that's the thing. I'm not going to go by how long it takes. Sometimes when the Lord deals with us about something, there's some time involved. There's some standing. There's some waiting. Think of how long Abraham waited for a son. Every natural consideration, if he had asked wisdom from anybody, does this make sense? An unseen God told me this, and here are the circumstances. What should I do? What do you think he would have done? If he had listened to the wisdom of this world, and yet God gave him the promise exactly when he wanted to, when it was totally impossible, and set for us, for you right now, here this morning, and me, a principle that God wants us to walk in today in the issues of our lives. They're not maybe major big ones like that, like Abraham was facing. Anybody here not facing something in your life? There are no issues. I'm just perfectly good. Everything is just great. I'm walking in victory lane. Not walking, I'm cruising in victory lane. I'm on the mountaintop. God wants us to have a different kind of victory. Many times it's going to be victory in the face of something. And you think of what Paul had just described in, was it 2 Corinthians 4, when he described his ministry and how God had to put him in a place where it was difficult. He had to overcome something in order to be able to minister to the people, and he valued that. Because that was God's plan, God's will. He valued that above what he had to give up and go through to do it. Isn't that what salvation is about? You know, a lot of people think of faith as a way to manipulate God and get what we want. That's not, anybody here think that's what it is? Faith is God enabling us to lay hold of what he has revealed as his will for us. And that's going to get right down to the little nitty-gritty day-by-day things that we experience in our lives. I'll tell you, I need this. You could expand on the subject and just go through all kinds of scriptures. But I think this is the essence of it. God wants us to do what is described in more than one place in the scriptures as grow in our faith. Anybody here need to grow? Yeah. Guess what? God's going to put some kind of stumbling block in your way. He's going to allow you to feel that what you need from him is impossible. Everybody knows that. This is not what you're supposed to be living for anyway. God's okay with that. 1,001 reasons to sidestep and say, wait a minute, God said this. And I am going to place my confidence in that. And I have the power within me because God put it there to believe him and to stand in the face of that thing and be willing to let self-will die, be willing to be changed. Anybody here need to be changed? Or is everybody here just exactly like Jesus? But he's bringing us, isn't he? I appreciate what's been said about his patience. If he weren't patient with me, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But God is so merciful. But think about the power that we need. This is, faith is not just, like I say, some philosophy we embrace blindly. It is a real power that God will deposit in a willing human heart. And then he will nurture that, and he will feed that with his word daily. Now, you know, I think you can jump in all kinds of ditches. I remember, I think I've mentioned this guy before, but I remember a guy in college who had fought in the Korean War. It tells you how long ago this was. And I think today they would have called it PTSD. It had messed him up pretty bad. And he had this, he was kind of crazy, kind of doing his own thing. But he had this whole idea, I am led of the Lord. I'm led by the Spirit. Well, he had to be led by the Spirit to go to lunch. I mean, it was like he's got to have this voice telling him every little thing. You know, we can do the ordinary things of life and learn how to walk with the Lord in it. We don't need a revelation to go to lunch. Sometimes the Lord can intervene and tell us to go this way or that way, but mostly it's about character. Am I really living out the life of Jesus, or am I just acting and reacting according to the way the world does, taking in information and reacting according to my personality? That's what the Lord's delivering us from. That's what salvation is from. It's all about that. But the Lord absolutely will speak to us if we'll have an ear to hear. He might give you a word through somebody. It might be from the pulpit. It could be just speaking to your spirit quietly. But I'll tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? But he is so faithful. And I want in my own life to be brought more and more to this place. And again, like it's been said, we don't jump from, you know, the spiritual gianthood by pushing the right button. But if we understand how it works, we can walk with the Lord and cooperate and make progress. Anybody here want progress? Yeah, I do. And it comes from walking with the Lord asking him. In fact, doesn't Scripture say without faith it's impossible to please God? So what is he looking for? He that comes to God must do two things. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's some seriousness in it. Now, how do I have the power to do that in the first place? Well, he gave it to me, didn't he, when I opened my heart to his voice. But now, what does he want me to do? He wants me to diligently seek him, to ask him to do in me what needs to be done, because I cannot do it on my own. Thank God that he has provided everything I need in Jesus. But I have the right to come to him. He invites me to come. That's what he wants. He is the one who's laid up all the treasures of heaven for me, for somebody like me and somebody like you. May God give us the grace to come to the place where the defining characteristic of our lives is that we don't just live by reacting to the information that enters our brains through our senses and then just react according to human nature. Rather, we live by faith. That means God speaks and he gives us wisdom that you can't get from the world. And it's going to be contrary to what the world says, but we're going to go by that like Abraham did. And we're going to walk in it. We're going to say, God, I know you're accomplishing something by allowing me to even feel this pressure and this conflict. But in it, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe what you said, and I'm going to stand there, even when you don't answer me right away, like it was the case with David. Lord, I'm waiting for an answer, but in the meantime, Lord, I praise you because I know you're faithful. I know you're right. I know, like we sang, that he'll be faithful to the end. We serve an awesome, faithful God. This is not a profound principle in many senses, but I think it is too. What's the guiding principle of your life? You just working out your plans? Following your heart? Are you just doing what comes naturally? Or are we saying, Lord, you have me here to walk with you? You have me here to listen for your voice. You're the one who can give me wisdom I cannot get from the world. And the world's wisdom is going to lead me straight down the wrong path. I need your voice. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds, present tense, out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. You think there's some power in that? You think when God speaks to our heart, whether it's through the scriptures or through whatever, and it's this life imparted to our spirits, do you think we then have the power to do what he wants us to do? That's when we start getting choices, though, isn't it? And many times we say, I don't know, I can't, I'm afraid, you know, and the old habits take root and take hold. But God's going to keep on coming. How many can, like Billy said, all the times that the Lord deals with the same thing, and here we are again. But God knows that he has the power. He can give us the power that we do not have. If we will just keep looking to him and keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, everything will be opened. And all that Christ has given to us and earned for us by his death on the cross will become ours in a practical sense. May God be glorified. May God help us to grow in our faith and just learn how to live by faith and not by sight. I'll tell you, this culture that we live in today is hell-mell running from God as fast as it can go. You listen to it, you drink it in, you start drinking its ideas, its values in any sense, it's going to absolutely take you down the wrong road. I need his voice. I need to listen for him. And he is more than willing to speak to anyone who will listen. That's his heart. Why do you think the world is even still here? As wicked as it is, it's because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a heart that's all going to reach out as long as there's any reaching to be done, as long as there's anyone that can respond. But I sure want to be one of those that says, Lord, do in me what needs to be done. I have no power, but you have offered me all of the power that I need by your grace. I have access to what I need right now if I'm willing. I tell you, is God worth serving? You see where Paul was, where God had brought Paul, and what a clear principle it was in his life. May God bring us to that place in a practical way. Listen to his voice, believe him, and not what comes in through your senses and through your habits. And God's going to take us to higher ground, step by step by step. And he is faithful who promised. Praise God. We need some judgment here. No. Ephesians 3:20, did you say? Yeah, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's pretty good. No matter what you can imagine or not even imagine, he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, based on his power, not mine, that is what? At work within us. See, once God saves somebody, there's something started. There's a life planted that has the power to grow into all that he has purposed. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate that.